Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch. Welcome, everybody, as you always are on Fridays, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, here in beautiful Los Angeles, on LA Talk Radio. Cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk. Hope this is not only entertaining for you today, but also informative, because what I'm doing here on the couch is answering a lot of your questions. Now, I know a lot of you guys email me with some of the issues you're going through and problems you may have. And what I try to do is, you know, select some that I think would really apply and be general to everybody. So a lot of people can get help from some of the questions that I've selected today. And I've let everybody know who emailed me that I'll be answering their questions today. By the way, if you have an issue, problem, question, whatever, you can email me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. straighttalkdoc@gmail.com here at LA Talk Radio. And I just want to remind you that we don't really have a therapeutic relationship, but what I do is give suggestions, ideas, things that have worked in the past that I've seen, and some of the backing in studies that show how people can live better lives, no matter what their particular issue may be. So today I'm going to be talking and helping listeners out with issues like getting rid of self-consciousness. Yeah, that's pretty universal, right? We're going to find out what passive-aggressive behavior really means. And if you're doing it, I'm going to help you out with that, why you may be doing that. Also, we're going to look for some essential qualities that you need to know about healthy partners. All right? Some of you out there can't really quite determine if you're healthy or if you're going through issues and putting your stuff on your partner, or if your partner's not quite all there for you, and maybe having some problematic behaviors that you're really starting to take a look at and saying, is this person really right for me? Yeah, that's what I'm going to do for you today is answer that. Not. We're also going to talk about what creates a peaceful relationship, okay? Because I have a listener who wrote in who's fighting a lot with her guy. So I'm going to tell you how to kind of get it together and stop. Stop with this stuff, you guys. Stop with fighting. Come on. Work on it. Get your ego out of the way. And also, we're going to talk about infidelity on the internet. Yeah, not good. Not good, but happens all the time, as a matter of fact. By the way, again, if you want to call in, ask me a question, you can do so. Number here is 323-203-0815. However, I'm focusing on a lot of the emails that my listeners have written me to help them out, you know, with their questions. And again, it's straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. If you have a question or a comment about something that I'm, you know, saying to someone, or, you know, somebody else's question, maybe you can offer some of your own advice. That'd be cool. I'd love that. Be nice, by the way. So we're going to start off answering a question that was asked by Carrie. And it's a man. He says, Doc, I've always been self-conscious about myself, and I always worry about how I come off to other people, especially in terms of some of the things I say or how I look. All right. It says, I feel like people think I'm an idiot. My family and friends say I'm a good-looking guy who's always nice, but here's a common example. Went to my wife's business dinner with executives and their partners. I'm not in her world of business and thought I came off stupid and mostly made small talk during my evening. My wife says everybody thinks I'm a great guy. But after this dinner and almost every social meeting, including office meetings I go to, I constantly relive the event and think about what I said and how I might have appeared stupid or said something dumb to other people. I then beat myself up for not having confidence and to always have to review how I talk and look when I'm out in social situations. How can you help me get over this? Well, stop it. All right, next question. No, I'm kidding. No, this is a really common issue that I hear all the time, Carrie, so don't feel like you're alone, and I'm not ridiculing you at all. I'm saying, yeah, good for reaching out, and I really appreciate you emailing me. It's really hard to get rid of self-consciousness. I mean, we're all, you know, self-conscious about the way we act and look and behave, you know? So you have to, like, kind of recognize your insecurities, Carrie. So what does that voice in the back of your mind say to you? You know what I'm saying? What makes you ashamed of yourself? What is it? You've got to kind of define that for yourself. I mean, what are these feelings? Are you feeling unworthy? Are you feeling ashamed or inferior? Just identify these things. Give it a name and write it down. Okay? It's also great to talk about it to supportive people who you trust. Now, you said your wife is really nice, apparently. She said a lot of people like you. So she apparently likes you. I guess. I'm just saying. So you might just chat with her about it. Or see a good therapist who are supportive and can hear what you have to say. And remember, no one is perfect. You know, even the most so-called confident people, we all have insecurities. You know, at some point of any of our lives, we may feel we lack something, and that's reality. So life is full of bumps. We're always kind of questioning how we came off to people. And not anyone I know really is completely confident. So what I would do to kind of switch it up, instead of focusing on what you're not and what you don't have, you know, that can keep those neural patterns in your brain reinforcing, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm not good looking enough, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, I'm not whatever enough that you torture yourself with all the time. The way to do it is kind of spin it up the other way, Carrie. I always suggest that people try to identify their successes, right? Because we're good at everything. I mean, let's just say everyone is good at something. So you have to really discover the things that you are good at and focus on those. You know, give yourself pride to take part in them. Give yourself credit for your successes, you know. And inferiority, by the way, if you always feel inferior or judged or not good enough, or like you said, you think people perceive you sometimes as like an idiot, come on. It's a state of mind where you've declared yourself a victim, Carrie. So don't allow yourself to be victimized. Don't give people that power. You know what I'm saying? Focus on your talents and strengths, right? Just spin it up that way. Don't focus on what you don't have, because we'll drive ourselves crazy. Focus on the good stuff you do have, what you're good at, okay? Also, be thankful for what you have. You know what I'm saying? I just wrote a huge blog on my LinkedIn about, you know, gratefulness. It's just sort of having those mindful moments of gratitude. Because a lot of the times at the root of insecurity and lack of confidence is a feeling of not having enough of something, right? Whether it's emotional validation, oh, I don't have good luck, whatever it is. But by acknowledging and appreciating what you do have, again, this is spinning it up the other way. I'm kind of rewiring you a little bit here, Carrie. Identifying your successes, being thankful, all right? Just kind of appreciate what you do have. Sounds like you have a nice wife. Start there. Wow, I found a nice partner who appreciates and thinks I'm a nice guy. You know? It helps kind of combat those feelings of coming off like an idiot or being incomplete and unsatisfying. And you just have to find that inner peace, you know, and be thankful for what you do have. That goes along with identifying those successes or things that you are good at. Another thing is trying to be positive even if you kind of don't feel positive. I know. I hear it all the time. It's like, yeah, but I can't. Are you kidding me? I'm in major depression here. How can I come up with a positive thought? My life sucks. I feel like an idiot. Just try to avoid the self-pity, Carrie. Or if you're going into the pity and sympathy of others, you know, never allow others to make you feel inferior. Never, never. If you're getting vibes from other people that you're not enough in some way, you know, don't give that power over. And really kind of think about that it might be your stuff, your own self-projections, which I want to get into. Okay? Speak positively about yourself. If there's stuff going on around your life, it's like, things are blowing up. I've got to pay this bill, and I had an argument with a family member, and oh my gosh, whatever it may be. Spin it again to the more positive thinking. You know, well, you know what? I do have a job. Well, I do have a nice person. Well, I do. Spin your thoughts more positively. If you have something negative or you're drowning in the, oh, this sucks, I hate this drive, stop. Just stop it. Stop it. Think about the things that you want to look forward to in the day, each day. Each day. Or if you're going away on the weekend, going to have a fun weekend, be positive. Think about the good things. Just try to pull yourself up. When you go to the dark side in your brain, go not. Go to the good side. Picture that happy place where you're going to go this weekend or be with who you're going to be with, whatever, you know. And I also talked about kind of projecting your own stuff onto other people. See, when you feel bad about yourself, you have low self-esteem and all that stuff, then what you do is you project it out onto other people. So carry whoever might have given you those messages that you're not enough or you're not smart enough or good-looking enough or you'll never amount to anything. Parents, who? Siblings, bullies, relationship issues, you know, people who put you down. Those are messages that you've incorporated into your reality, which you're not real. Okay? So you've got to get down deep and realize where you got those messages from and just sort of counter. No, you know what? I do have successes. You know what? I've been told I'm a good-looking person. You know what? I can dress up and show up and be polite. You know what? I can do these things. All right? So you have to sort of counter those negative thoughts about yourself. Whoever gave them to you, you know, we all have those old tapes and scripts running about who we are. Yeah, just try to feel a little better. All right. And sometimes you got to be more assertive in life. And that doesn't mean aggressive. Just kind of saying what you need is really an important thing. Being more assertive at work, if you will, or being more assertive in, you know, relationships and just being okay with that. That really helps build a lot of your self-consciousness. Something else, you know, I was talking about rewiring your brain. Sometimes when we can focus on something else outside of ourselves, right? Carry that thought about, oh, I must have come off like an idiot. Well, sometimes when you defocus and project it out there into the universe to help others, you know, you're making a positive difference in other people's lives. Even if it's just being kinder. You said you were a nice guy, so that's great. Being kinder to the guy at the coffee place in the morning or whatever. Whatever. It'll boost your self-confidence when you know that you're just being a cool person out there in the world. If you want to volunteer someplace, do it. You know, whatever may be interesting to you. If you're into animals, you might want to volunteer. Giving helps take away our self-confidence and brings also our lack of self-confidence, rather, and brings us, you know, more empowerment about things we can do to help others. And the biggie, something that I always tell a lot of people I see is to stop worrying. You say you keep thinking over of your conversations and how they went and how, you know, it didn't go right. Honestly, people don't care. Social situations, you think you said something dumb or you came off like an idiot or whatever. People do not care. They're all thinking about themselves. So what worries you today and tonight and the next day and about the situation you were in, it'll be forgotten by everybody else. Nobody cares. And if somebody does care, they've got an issue. All right? I mean, really, just don't worry about how you come off. Just be. That's you. Let it go. You sound like a nice person, you know? And you probably, hopefully, won't worry about stuff a week or two from now. You let it go. As you know, time dissipates a lot of negative feelings, you know? Always remember, don't be who you are not. Don't force it. Don't be fake. Just be who you are. If you come off like that nice guy that your wife says and your friends say, that's who you are. Don't ever be something that you're not, okay? And that's what I say. I just suggest you do that. So hopefully, you know, I help steer you in the right direction. And as I always say, Carrie, please go see a therapist for your self-consciousness. Somebody who specializes that in your area. PsychologyToday.com is a great resource. You can find good people on. Find out all about them. Check it out. All right. This is Dr. Michelle. You're on the couch here on LA Talk Radio. And what we're doing today is... I always talk in the third person here. Dr. Michelle's couch and myself are helping answer listeners' questions. You wrote me here on straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, and I'm trying to help you out a little bit. Remember, we don't have a therapeutic relationship. I'm not your therapist. I'm just here on the radio giving advice. I happen to be a psychologist. But just take these things for suggestions and ideas. You don't do any of these things I suggest necessarily. If you're not comfortable with anything, don't do it. And that's the way it is. All right, I earlier was saying that we're going to talk about the idea of passive-aggressive behavior. Because, I mean, that's, you know, we've all heard that term, and we've all done it, by the way. And this is from Ariella, looks like Ariella. She says, my fiancé gets mad at me a lot lately because he says that I'm passive-aggressive, and he criticizes me all the time. He says I'm always late and that I don't speak up for myself and don't take responsibility for my mistakes. Okay. That's kind of serious stuff. What is passive-aggressive behavior and why do I do this? Wow, I'll tell you why some people do this. She says, I don't want to lose my relationship. It's really getting in the way of our happiness. So I'm sorry, Ariella, that you're feeling this and having this experience because, you know, I think, I think we all have it in a way. You know, sometimes we do things to avoid issues or to avoid being criticized or something we don't really want to do. You know what I'm saying? So passive-aggressive behavior, to answer your question, Ariella, it shows up in a lot of different ways. But some of the common features are nonverbal negativity and resistance and confusion. So in a lot of relationships, many psychologists say it's sort of a form of emotional abuse. And it can really destroy a lot of open and honest communication. So I read here, Ariella, that your fiancé said it's really messing up your relationship. So sometimes the passive-aggressive behaviors rear their ugly heads in the form of procrastination, learned helplessness, stubbornness, resentment, or like, you know, you mentioned a failure to handle required or requested tasks. You said that your partner was complaining about that. So what are some of those things that you do, huh? Let me ask you. Let me think of some of the most common things. Well, you know, making a lot of excuses for lack of follow through or poor performance. Okay. Creating drama, a lot of chaotic situations, procrastinating at the expense of others, putting stuff off, not helping other people. Chronically late. Oh, that's another one I hear all the time. Somebody who's chronically late or forgetting things in order to control or punish. And a lot of these are said to be like subconscious, but I don't think so. I think they're I think they're done purposefully. Well, okay. So maybe some stuff's unconscious. We don't want to go to work, so we forget where we put our keys. I can't drive there, so I don't know. I'm just saying. That's not passive-aggressive, but that's subconscious stuff. You can avoid intimacy a lot of times with someone through anger or negativity. Oh, yeah. Another great one that I just flashed on was guilt. Using guilt or sulking to punish somebody else or gain attention. And, of course, blaming others. That's a biggie that you said that your fiancé does. Or hears from you that you don't own stuff. You don't own it. You might be unresponsive or non-communicative to avoid discomfort or conflict. Another one is sabotaging. So why do we do these things? Do you vibe with these things, Ariella? Are you doing some of these things? Because, all of us have resorted to passive aggressive behavior at some point. We all do. We've all pouted, played the guilt card, given the silent treatment. Oh, that's another one. That's another one of my favorites. Well, if you knew what you did wrong, I'm not going to tell you. You should know what you did wrong, so I'm going to just give you the quiet treatment until you get your act together. But, a lot of these behaviors stem from a childhood environment where the child didn't feel safe to express his or her emotions, frustrations. You know, it could have been physical abuse, verbal abuse. You know, maybe there was some addiction or controlling. Parents might have been, having their own issues, a lot of other, anxiety or stressors. Or you may have learned this behavior because somebody else in your family, your parents or whoever, did their own passive-aggressive habits. I always hate to blame mommy and daddy all the time. Hate to do that. That's not nice. But, it's the only kind of environment that we're exposed to usually, or our caregivers, grandma, grandpa, aunts, uncles, whoever. It's the first environment we're exposed to and how we, relate to who we are in the faces and feelings, gestures, expressions of others. So that's where we get it a lot from. And a lot of times families where the honest expression of how we feel isn't permitted or encouraged. A lot of times we're having to repress and deny our own true feelings. The kids learn to resort to passive aggressiveness. That's how they express their pain and frustration, because they can't do it directly, because growing up they'll be really in trouble. They can't say how they feel. They'll be criticized. They can't express themselves. They can't even cry sometimes. I have so many people who come to me who say, I was never allowed to cry. I always had to shut up and be a man. That's wrong. A lot of times we've got to, get that and understand that we can't mask our feelings. We can't do that as we grow up, because it makes for a lot of hostility. We never learn coping strategies or skills to express ourselves authentically. Okay. So what you have to do is you have to really learn how to not do these behaviors and look in your past and sort of kind of see if you're vibing with some of these things that you were learned or that you learned or were given when you grew up, Ariella. Look back at your childhood. Try to recognize the cause of these behaviors and try to check out the impact of your behavior on your fiancé. Talk to him about it. And do, own it, girl. Accept some responsibility for your actions and your behaviors and mistakes and failures. Come on, own it. Come on. And learn some acceptable communication skills and techniques. Own it. Warm up. It's okay. You're not going to be criticized. Maybe you are. And if you are, then you need to go to a couples therapist and work on that together. Yeah. Just learn to accept yourself and your feelings as valid and worthy. And if you weren't allowed to express feelings as a child and never felt heard, you may not feel confident about opening yourself up and living authentically in your relationship now. You have a right to open self-expression, not screaming, not freaking out, not maybe that'll work. Do it in front of a therapist. So for everybody out there listening, like I said, we all do passive-aggressive behaviors, but if these kind of behaviors that I talked about plays a role in any of your relationships, I really want you to place it in the spotlight so it can be healed and transformed by awareness and understanding. Go to a therapist near you, Ariella is your name, Ariella. You know, work on this. Why are you so passive aggressive? Just think about some of the things I've said. And thank you so much for having the courage to email me about this. And I hope I helped you out a little bit. And this is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you're on the couch right here on LA Talk Radio. Today, I'm answering listeners' questions. You all wrote me on straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And I'm trying to focus on some of the emails here that really apply to a lot of us out there. Universal stuff, you know, that we've all felt from time to time and that we all do, you know, involving relationships or personal issues, self-esteem, like Ariella just talked about, you know, her passive-aggressive behavior, you know, and that's, we all kind of do that from time to time, but, you know, if it's chronic, it's, we got to really explore it because we, people won't like us and we won't like ourselves too much. And it really kind of fuels a lot of anger, especially for a lot of men. And then they blow it. And then that's really bad. All right. Now we're moving on. Thank you so much, Aaron, for emailing me. And by the way, guys, if you'd like to, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. You have any comments or questions? Be nice to any of the people I'm talking to and answering questions for today. All right. This little email here from Aaron says, I'm 28 and have had a few good long-term relationships with women. But for some reason, I have hesitated to keep the relationships going. One girl I was with for 3 years was great, and we had a lot of fun and thought I loved her, but she had much drama in her life, okay, and was really emotional. I was always having to hear her crying or complaining, and I couldn't take it anymore. She wanted me to fix her. Okay, I get it. The other long-term relationship just didn't feel like it was going to last because she always accused me of looking at other girls or wishing I was with other girls. I got tired of her jealousy because I never cheated on her. Once I'm in a relationship, I am faithful. But now I'm ready to find a good person to be with, but would like to know some of the qualities I should look for. Well, you know what you want. You know, I always suggest to people that if they're looking for, you know, a person that would fit their style, to write down, you know, a list, one column that says what I do want. And these are the good stuff. This is the good stuff. This is what I'm not willing to compromise on. And then, you know, another column that says what I'm willing to compromise on. And of course, if you want to identify the negatives that you absolutely won't put up with, then those are the deal breakers. You write that down as well. So then you can look at it and compare it. And then when you meet people, you start getting to know them a little bit better. Then, you know, you get to figure out if that's what you do want or what you don't want. Some of these characteristics that are deal breakers that are getting in your way that you absolutely don't want. So maybe I can, you know, give you some suggestions, Aaron, about really good qualities in most healthy people. So this is not necessarily what you want, Aaron, but I'm just saying this, some of the things I'm going to be talking about here make for sort of a healthy person, okay, for you. And you can take it or leave it. So you can go, no, that doesn't work for me. So one of the really important qualities to look for in a partner is of someone who cares, you know. I mean, it's really important to look for someone who can show his or her love and respect you. Okay? You want to have someone who has moral character, knows right from wrong, you know. So you kind of want to know someone who's caring and has empathy and listens and has a good relationships with other people. In other words, they're caring. You know, they listen. They express feelings. Yeah, because that's pretty healthy, you know, if they care. People who can't care sometimes, you know, are shut off and they have, you know, some issues they have to work through. Or they're narcissistic or they have those kind of personality disorders. They just can't do it. It's no criticism. It just is what it is. So you need somebody who is pretty caring and empathetic and can, you know, communicate well. That leads me into communicating. You know, that's really a key to a long-lasting relationship. Relationships cannot really last unless you learn how to communicate. So you got to learn how to, you know, come to some kind of compromise. You've got to learn your partner's style of communication and really keep it real. So somebody who you can communicate with comfortably, who's not freaking out, has aggressive, passive-aggressive, you know, outrageous, unpredictable behavior, someone who's willing to sit and talk and, you know, you can openly communicate with, and hopefully they're honest as well. You know, if you're, you know, if you want somebody who you can have on a long-term basis, it's really nice to have someone that you have similar interests with or who is intellectually stimulating to you, somebody who's into your stuff. So if you're an artist, somebody else who can get you, if you're into film, if you're a scientist, whatever, someone who, you know, can help you be better at that. They may not even, you know, be in your industry or your profession, but somebody who can kind of make you think, somebody who's stimulating, somebody who you can talk to for a long time and be involved in the conversation, even if they're not fully, like I said, into your stuff, but somebody who gets you, to make it short, really, basically. And that goes along with similar interests, you know, because when we share a common interests, a few at least, we don't all have to like everything. It'll kind of help strengthen your relationship because that makes for being together. So we can spend time doing something that we both can enjoy. You know. So, you know, you got to find somebody who has some similar interests. But you also have to find somebody who takes good care of themselves, good health physically. You know what I'm saying? I've heard some stories about online dating and really hit it off with somebody and been talking a lot. And then they finally have the meet. They meet up. And they just don't look like they've taken care of themselves. I've heard a lot of men and women say they just don't look healthy. They don't groom. They kind of grossed me out when I actually met them. They didn't look clean. They didn't. So good health is a really important thing because that means somebody cares about themselves enough, you know, has enough self-confidence, has enough self-care, really. Maturity is a biggie as well, you know. I mean, it's really important to have somebody who's mature because if they have a little bit more, you know, life experience, or even if they're young and mature people, Aaron, you know, you've got to find somebody who's able to own it. Like, you know, I told Ariella a little earlier, you know, if they lack the maturity you desire, you got to move on to someone who can be a little more mature, take responsibility for their life, you know, whatever that is, having a healthy sense of money, having a job, taking good care of themselves, you know, all these things you have to do. And also, another thing is, you know, what's really important sometimes is, it's talking about physical, is if you have a strong sexual appetite, then it'd be a good idea to be with somebody that is similar. You know, having similar sexual appetites is really important. Going right into that relationship, talking about it. Because that can really lead to a lot of problems. You know what I'm saying? And there's all these other side things that interfere with our, you know, being sexually attracted to someone. But, I mean, if you have similar, you're going to be with somebody you're attracted to. I hope, if you're looking for a relationship, I hope a little bit attracted to. So, but similar sexual appetites is really important. I always tell people that, you know. And another thing, too, is you want somebody who takes personal time. Right? You really need to have somebody. And this goes with being mature. So both of you can go see your friends and do some other things apart. You know, because having too much togetherness sometimes can lead to a monotonous relationship. And, you know, it can also, you know, mean that you're kind of codependent. Yeah, I know. Let's throw that word around. Codependency. Common word, but, you know, a lot of people do it. So I'm just saying, just think about some of these ideas, jot them down, and write your deal breakers, Aaron. What won't you put up with in a relationship? It's your personal stuff, and you get to choose. So these are just suggestions. about, you know, some of the qualities that make for healthier people to be in relationships with. And I thank you so much for emailing me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. This is Dr. Michelle here on LA Talk Radio. And you're on the couch, as you always are on Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific. Today I'm answering a lot of your email questions. Hopefully I'm breezing through, but I want to give you a really good, some solid stuff here. And we don't have a therapeutic relationship. I'm just giving you advice and suggestions so you can think about some of these things. A lot of it is based on what works and doesn't work, studies, and a lot of my personal experience with patients. But again, I'm just giving you ideas and suggestions. You don't have to do anything I say because I'm not your therapist. again, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com is where you can question or comment. And I do say, be nice to some of these people because I'm not going to read them on the air. If you see some of the comments, No. These people, you know, are reaching out to me. They're having the courage to reach out to me. So don't criticize them. Because chances are if you're criticizing, and I'm reading some of the critical things that you're saying about some of these people, that's your own stuff that you're projecting on. So thanks for your emails. I appreciate them. But I'm not reading them on the air because they're kind of not nice, some of them. So let's move on here. This is from Holly. And she writes, Doc, my boyfriend and I fight a lot. It's over stupid things, but I think we're always trying to one-up each other or prove that we are right. And this is one of the most common things, by the way, that I hear, you know, with individuals or couples in my practice. One of the most common things. Because we all want to get along. So Holly says, I really love him, but think that we have some bad habits. Can you give me some help with how to have a more peaceful relationship? I'm tired of arguing and need to know how to have better or more healthy fights. Well, I think, you know, there is such a thing as having healthy arguments. I hate the word fights, but we all fight. Yeah, we all have bad moods and we all are grumpy. We all have bad days and somebody pushes our button, we jump on them. It's normal. Can't always have happy relationships. And it's also good to if we fight constructively or argue constructively, you know. So we all have issues. So let me tell you instead of how to fight, because I want to spin it up the other way. I want to say how to create a more peaceful and loving relationship, because I think this is what you're asking me. So, Holly, I know it's hard for you. I always tell people it's really difficult, but you got to try to give your partner the benefit of the doubt. Okay? So no matter what you're fighting about, it's kind of tempting to doubt them that they're doing wrong or whatever. You know, you have to just try to hear what they have to say. So listen to what they have to say. All right? Just kind of listen to what they're expressing to you. Maybe they have a valid argument. You know what I'm saying? So you got to try and give people the benefit. Just listen. When someone's upset with you or argue, don't jump in there and try to out-talk them or out-yell them. Also, I suggest that people look at themselves first, you know? Because when you feel not happy with who you are, it's easy to pretty much find something wrong in a relationship. So, Holly, if you're blaming another person for what you're feeling, what happens is the solution's on them. But this is kind of like faulty logic, I think, because it gives them all the control, first of all. And secondly, it usually doesn't solve the problem because you're not really actually addressing the root cause. So you got to look at yourself. So if you're blaming and you're, you know, criticizing and you guys in your arguments that you say you have, Holly, next time you feel the need to blame him for your feelings, you made me feel, you know, or you should have done. And just ask yourself if there's something else going on. You know, maybe you should have done something for you. You know, maybe he's pushing a button here that you're taking on that comes from old past assumptions about yourself. People hurt me. you know, people always hurt me, that kind of thing. Look at that. Take a look at yourself. And you know, I mentioned the word projection and all that. I always suggest that people be mindful of projecting. And psychology, it kind of refers to denying your own traits and then ascribing them to the outside world or other people. Like I just said, if you feel that people are always hurting you, you know, you feel like the victim, you're projecting that onto other people a lot of times. Another thing that I hear is if you're like not a loyal and trusting friend, you might assume that your friends are all out to get you. It's a defense mechanism, and it allows you to avoid the discomfort of acknowledging your weaknesses. So, you know, that'll put a lot of issues in your relationships. And it comes back to, you know, self-awareness. And it is hard work. So that's why I always say go see a good therapist who can help you out with some of these ideas. Because acknowledging our flaws, it isn't fun. But the problem is if you don't sort of acknowledge your flaws and sort of hear how you might be projecting your stuff on, you know, to your guy, Holly, you're going to continue to hurt. So the next time you see something in him that's negative, ask yourself if it's true for you. If it might not be, you know, good. And you can share that with him. Always choose your battles. I always say, Holly, if you're arguing, choose your battles. Come on. Is it really that important? You know, I know we all get in bad moods and we have bad days at work or we're grumpy or we're hungry or we're tired and, you know, like that kind of thing. We all like to, you know, get into the fight sometimes. But choose your battles. Is it really that important that you prove that you're right over something? Don't do it. It's not a contest. Life is not a contest. Relationships are not a contest. Well, I did this for you. You'd never do this for me. Okay. And when you're asking something or someone, or you're telling Holly, you're telling your man things that he says or does that make you feel bad, just use I statements. I feel sad when you say you're going out to the sports bar after work and you call me at 10 and say, oops, had my phone turned off. Or you come home a little buzzed and you don't tell me when you're coming home. That makes me feel like you're not interested in my feelings. Okay? Don't attack, because, you know, what happens is their natural instinct is to get defensive. That'll get you nowhere and the fight goes on and on. All right? So try to say the I statements. I feel sad when you, or it makes me feel hurt when, you know, just confront compassionately and clearly. Do it clearly. And don't be afraid to be vulnerable. You know, don't be afraid. And this is for guys too. A lot of guys I work with, you know, they don't want to show a lot of their feelings because they don't want to come off like, you know, they're weak. But it's okay to, you know, just allow your true self to come out and, you know, talk about some of your vulnerabilities. And think also before acting on emotion. Think before going crazy and yelling. Think. Count to 10, count to 20. Walk away if you think you're going to blow someone away with your yelling or screaming because you haven't got a handle on really what's going on. But you're just automatically angry because you think somebody hurt you, okay? You know? And something else that's really important, too, is just try to enjoy his company, your man's company, more than his approval. You know, you don't have to always be that person that's, yes, you're right and I'm wrong. Yes, you're right and I'm wrong. You can be assertive and say, I feel, you know, that you kind of did the wrong thing here when you did this, but am I wrong? Is it my stuff? Hopefully you both can learn how to talk to each other nicely and lovingly, and then, you know, you can work through these issues with each other. You know, these are just some ideas for you, Holly. So, you know, today we've covered a lot of stuff. You know, we've talked about finding the right partner that has some healthy relationship, you know, skills, somebody who's a little healthier. So hopefully you can, if you just tuned in, you can replay and download the show and listen how you might find someone who's a little healthier in your life if you're looking for a good relationship. Also talked about passive aggressive behavior. What is it? What do you do that's pissing people off all the time? Do you do passive aggressive? So I talked a little bit about how you can clean that up and some of the behaviors that you might be doing. Also, how to get rid of self-consciousness. You know, get rid of those ruminations or those thoughts we have over and over about, ooh, what I should have done or could have done. Or just get out of there. Don't do it. Don't hurt yourself. You know what I'm saying? Also, we just talked about what creates a peaceful and loving relationship, how to, not get into these unhealthy arguments and fights all the time and just take care of yourself, you know, and how to talk to each other in a healthy manner. I want to thank everybody, by the way, for emailing me here on the couch at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, emailing me all your questions and comments. Happy to help you out today. And again, we don't have a therapeutic relationship. These are just ideas, suggestions, things you might think about, coming from my experience that I've been doing this for a while, and also from some of the studies that shows what's healthy behavior. Really appreciate it. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening. The show is available for replay, uploading, downloading, all that fun stuff with the archives tomorrow. And, of course, you can contact me here on the couch with Dr. Michelle at straighttalkjock@gmail.com. We have a little closing music here. Davy Crockett, thank you so much for providing this tune. Do take care of yourself first, because then you'll be good for other people. That's the way it works in the world.
When we used to burn leaf and put our minds on delay, okay. Now allow us to proceed on a trip to last summer when everything was perfect and green. We used to chill and relax and maybe smoke a fast stack while we laugh about the past, but that's too vast to express how much I love you and all the selfish things you put me through. Well, who am I to judge? I made some stupid choices too. Regardless, I'm just living it up. I'm blind to the negativity. Floating in the golden lotus, that's where I'll be. This experience is such a blessing. Motherfucker, stop asking questions. Your soul knows that this defeats the purpose. Close your eyes and let me be your wordsmith. Y'all, I miss those days, chilling on the moon with the guitar, spitting phrase. But now I'm in another days, unconditionally missing y'all and all the silly games like we used to play and see how fast we can smoke out of gore and burn.